we want to honor Pastor Walker and Elder Fran today in their absence as they are celebrating 40 years of marriage. So we appreciate them and pray that they're just having a wonderful time. You know, Pastor went to a level of unplugging this week that I just didn't think it was within him to do. I didn't know he had the capability of unplugging to that degree. But that man is celebrating the love of his life. And he has unplugged some things. Amen. So we just pray that they be able to rest. And it's a good thing when he leaves town and he don't have to worry if you're going to even show up. Thank God that you came. Because there was a time that he wouldn't even announce it and tell you. See, y'all, some of y'all ain't been here long enough to know that. He would just, you just come in and go, where's Pastor? But this week, he told you. In fact, Wednesday night, he said, this is it. As soon as this service is over, I'm on vacation. I heard him tell Elder Fran in the back, he said, you can go ahead and get your straw hat and have it all ready. I can have my shorts, and as soon as we dismiss, we go into the office and change. Because we done. He was ready. And I think that, you know, the Lord is good. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered. Well, if the Lord orders one step, then another step, and then he orders a step to the right, and he orders a step to the right. And if he don't order a step, that means he just ordered your stop. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. Just like the steps of a good man are ordered, God orders and declares times and seasons of rest for us. Stuff's, you know, we need to be mindful of that, because sometimes things shut down and we want to rebuke it, try to figure out why the next deal hadn't come through, why the next contract hadn't come through. Perhaps it's a season of rest that the Lord has ordered. Don't have to fret because that job wasn't your source anyway. So when he shuts it down, just say, Lord, I receive. That's easier to say it than done, I know. Because as soon as it stops, we say, Lord, thank you, then I can rest. Then you start looking at what's due at the end of the month. You're going, oh God, let me rest today, but come through tomorrow, you know. But he wants us to learn what it means to trust him. He really does. So I just want to encourage somebody that may be going through that season where it looks like it's not a lot happening. Don't despise it. Don't rebuke that. He orders your steps and your stops. Amen. Amen. And this is a very, very special day for me. Do you know I've not been here on this day for probably 28 years? Why, you ask? See, if this was a trivia question, there'll be a few people that can get this one. It's because today is my lovely wife's birthday. And usually we are somewhere celebrating. And if that day was not on the weekend and if it was in the week, I sort of figured it out over the years. That meant we had to take the whole week. That became a vacation week. But as the Lord would have it, we're in town. Mainly because today is also my baby son Nicholas's birthday. And wow, our baby is turned 21. That's huge. So I couldn't get her to even think about leaving town today. Y'all, they are a mess. This morning I got up and I was, you know, preparing to come, and her phone rang, and she answered the phone, and I heard him go, happy birthday to you. And she sang back to my happy birthday. They just singing to each other. just the two of them, just singing to each other. I said, oh, Lord. So I had to run and get everybody else up that wasn't up yet and say, y'all, come on. We got to join in. We can't let them have this moment by themselves. They was just singing love songs to each other. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. How you feel? Oh, my God. They just, the two of them going back and forth because he was truly her gift. And also he marked the end of an era. Yes, sir, we knew it was a wrap. Wonder should we have some more children? We might have said that after Darius. But by the time Nick came, it wasn't even no more question. When he showed up on her birthday, I said, can God do any greater? That's it. That's it. Shut it down right there. And she said, yeah, you shut it down. So, but I thank God for both of them, and I really thank God for Cass. She told me don't say too much, and I'm trying not to, but this is not about you. This is the Lord. On the way in here, I was just overwhelmed driving in this morning. I said, God, I am mighty grateful for every year you give her. Every year. Because the enemy tried to take her out. And she can't do every little thing she used to be able to do. But I tell you what, God is a healer. He's a healer. And she is not just a survivor. She is. But she's an overcomer. And I give God glory. I give him glory today. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to jump right in to the message. And the title of this message today is The Gift of Love. The Gift of Love. our launch scripture, our starting point, we're going to start out with probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible. John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever... King James said, whosoever. But whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he... You could just stop right there. One of the most telltale signs of love is the willingness to give. And for that, I even want to thank two of my other sons that came today, Aaron and Darius. Both of them made some sacrifices to give, to be here for Mom and Nick. And they said, Daddy's preaching too? Wow. And I appreciate that. You know, we have to really, really receive those expressions of love. Because when it's real love, it's going to always cost you something. And I thank you. Thank you for that. That's what Jesus did. The Father gave his son. He loved so much that he gave his only. He didn't give what was in abundance or what was left over, but he gave his only. He gave, and he gave his only son. And Jesus gave his life. He paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt in full. He gave because he died on Calvary's cross for me. Yes, everybody who receives that can benefit, but he did it just for you. That if it were only you that needed to be redeemed, he would have still paid that price. But the beauty of it is that his death was sufficient for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. And if we receive that gift, then we can be saved. Can I tell you there's nothing more that he can do? He died once for all. In fact, nothing else is required because his blood was so pure. It was so holy that it was sufficient to take care of our debt and to purchase our salvation. Yes, he purchased it with his own blood. And now it's mine, it's yours to receive that gift of salvation and be free. Free from the penalty of sin, free from the presence of sin, free from the power of sin. That's how much God loves us. The sacrificial gift of God in giving his only begotten son. And if it's sacrificial love, if it's that God kind of love, then it always has some eternal repercussions, eternal benefits. And what I love about God's love is that his love can change you forever. It can change you. It can change the unlovely parts. The parts of us that's not so winsome. God can change that. That's what his love does. It heals us. I want you to turn with me to John, the 21st chapter. Starting at verse 15. And it reads, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. So the love question came up. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And when he said more than these, I believe he was talking about these other disciples. Not do you love me more than you love them, but do you love me more than they love me? You got to remember, Peter had just jumped out of a boat into the water. He was the only one that moved when Jesus bid them come. And he came. And so Jesus asked him, said, do you love me more than they do? If I could flip the language a little bit. And Peter's answer was very interesting. He said, Lord, you know. You ever had that person like, he's like, you know. Come on. I ain't even got, you know I love you. And Jesus' response was, and feed my lambs, the weakest, the most frail in the flock, the newbies. It could represent new Christians or young Christians, even children. He said, if you love me, then feed them. The ones that can't fend for themselves, you know, that's the little lamb. You may have to hold that one and put the bottle, you know, in the lamb's mouth. You have to make sure that they're provided for, because maybe another sheep might take all the food. He said, I want you to feed them. Make sure they're nourished. Make sure they grow. But look at the connection Jesus is making. He says, do you love me? And when Peter said yes, then the very next thing he gave him was an assignment to love others. The Some of y'all can see where this is going. First he said, do you love me? And if that's settled that you love me, he said, now here's what you do. Love these. And then verse 16, Jesus asked him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Now, this time, Jesus didn't ask him, do you love me more than these? He just said, do you love me? I didn't plan to say this, but can I just digress a second? Can we say something for social cues? Jesus asked them, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the other folk? And Peter didn't answer that part. Perhaps he didn't want to make the other people feel like, well, y'all should have jumped out the boat like me. Apparently, you don't love Jesus like I do. You're not as committed as I am. I'm willing to give all, baby. I'm out the boat. Yeah, I went down, but I walked a few steps. Peter didn't do that. He didn't lord that over them. He didn't try to make them feel small. And Jesus recognized that he didn't go there. Listen, y'all. Where's that generation? Well, no, it's past them now. It's a lot of people. But those kinds of skills you can't develop with your face in a screen. You got to spend time talking with people and interacting and engaging to understand those cues, to know when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate to say something or to push an issue. Or if somebody does, they don't answer or do a thing the moment you ask. Maybe there's a reason in the room. Maybe there's a reason in their midst why they're not comfortable doing that. So respectfully, you don't push it. Take a cue from Jesus. That's how he talked with Peter. So he didn't ask him that this time. And so Peter answered him the same way. He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said to him, then tend my sheep. He didn't say lambs this time. His assignment was for the more mature. You know, these weren't little lambs. These were the sheep. He said, care for them. Because, you know, the sheep, they're vulnerable to the wolves. You know, they're vulnerable to all kinds of attacks and their threats against them. Tend to them. Keep them safe. Protect them. If you love me, you know, if you love me, then you want to serve. Ooh, did we hear that? If you love me, then you want to serve. And you ain't got to figure out what you want to do because the Holy Ghost will give you an assignment. Jesus said, do you love me? What he needed from you is to say yes. You do? But look, right here, I need somebody on this parking lot to help Minister Rob Mathis. Let me stop right here. Bruh, I love you. I love you, Robert Mathis III. You're an awesome friend, awesome brother. We've been relating since 1994, about then, 1994 or so. And when we met, he was a student at Georgia Tech. And I would come there to speak in Bible studies and do Bible studies and even direct a choir for a season. And I remember one time in particular, early in our relationship, Carol and I rolled up on campus and it was a stormy, rainy day. And we were meeting in the student center. And at that time, I wasn't quite sure where to go and where to park because we had met previously in the couch, you know, on the other side of campus. My Georgia Tech people back there, talking, GT. So, but we rolled up looking where to go. And what did I see? Rob standing outside in the rain with an umbrella, waiting. I said, Carol, ain't that one of the? And she said, yeah. I said, I think he's waiting on us. And so we put our run on the window. I said, hey. He said, how you doing? I said, look, where do we park? He said, let me take a car for you. And he walked around with his umbrella and got Carol out first. Walked her from the car to a dry place in the shelter, under the entryway. And then he came back around and got me and walked me in with all my stuff for the Bible study. And then he went back and took our car and drove it and parked it and came back. And we were so impressed. We said, wow, look at that young man. He wasn't a member here. He was just a student from Nashville, Tennessee. Can you imagine? All the way down here in Atlanta. Can any good thing come out of Nashville? I'm just kidding. And that's how we met him. This morning I pulled up. It was mist and rain a little bit. Wasn't pouring down. Like, here we go, oh my God, 25, 26 years later. And he came out the door, boom, to the car and said, let me help you with that. Grabbed my coat, my Bible, and I'm trying to get, it wasn't raining hard, it was misting. And then we got ready to walk back. He said, you got a key? I said, you ran out the door and you can't get back in. I said, man, that's some real commitment right there, boy. I said, that's like Peter stepping off the boat. He wasn't thinking about how he's going to get back. He just came. But your heart, man, your heart to serve. And I just believe that somebody like you who invests in other people like that, God's going to always take care of you. That's my prayer for you, man. Truth of the matter is, I don't think there's been any major event in either one of our lives since 1994 that we haven't gone through together. And I just wanted to say it in front of all these people, I love you. I love you. You're a good man. You're a good man. Thank you for sharing your family with us and your children, your wife, the wonderful Ruby Mathis. I just appreciate y'all so much, man. Yeah, y'all be just matching over there. You think we don't notice, you know, the colors. I know that ain't you. I know that's Ruby. But back to that passage of scripture. He said, you know, because you love me, then here's where I want you to serve. Listen, there's a connection between serving and loving Jesus. You can't say you love God and you don't serve nowhere. It just is. That's what you want to do. And then verse 17. Says this. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The previous time he said, tend to them, protect them and care for them. This time he said, feed the sheep. And so we see in this discourse where Jesus began to ask Peter about his love for him. And Peter answered right. He said, Lord, you know all things. So Peter, you know, he just, perhaps, you know, there's some theologians that would say he was grieved that third time because, remember, Peter denied him three times. Perhaps that threefold presentation of that question will remind him of his own shortcoming. And he really did love the Lord. But Jesus was taking him to a place of really coming to terms with what the Lord already knew that was in his heart. And God does that a lot. He'll ask us something. And it's really not so much as us answering him, but it's for us to become aware of what he already knows. That's his loving way of revealing our heart to us and revealing his intention for us. Because that question would direct you or guide you. And so Peter didn't know that he was going to be one of the big 12, you know, the apostles, and have such a formidable role or impact on the development of the early church. He didn't know that on the day of Pentecost, he was going to receive the Holy Ghost and get up and preach, and 3,000 get saved. That day, the largest crusade, you know, that took place outside of Jesus himself. He didn't know all this, but God knew his intent for Peter. So he asked him, said, "Do you love me?" And because his answer was yes, he said, "Then I want you to feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep." And he began to give Peter his assignment. Let's look at Mark 12:28. It says, "Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'First of all, the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these.'" Two commandments: love the Lord, and then love others. And then is that word, as you love yourself. The assumption is that you already love yourself to a degree. You already have some self care. You already have a desire to not be harmed. That's why, you know, you pull your hand back when something burns or stings or sticks or hits it, or you feed yourself daily, or you do all those things you do to care for you. You put clothes on, and you know, you provide, you give yourself sleep, you go to bed, rest for your body. He says, love others as you love you. But first, love me. Love me, then love others as you love yourself. That's very similar to what happened in that discourse with Jesus and Peter, isn't it? He says, "Peter, do you love me?" I'm sorry. When I do like this, that means you're supposed to finish the sentence. So Jesus said, "Peter, do you love?" Some of y'all are going to get an A today, I can tell. Yeah, and so he said, yes. And so first, love the Lord with your all. Then he says, okay, since that's settled, now love others. And he's told him what he directed him toward: taking care of his lambs, taking care of his sheep. Okay, see, it cost me nothing because Jesus paid it all, right? This salvation, we don't do it. We can't lasso eternal life and appropriate it to our life. We can't be good enough to get it. You know, we can't work the deal. We can't scheme, none of that. It costs Jesus everything. So it doesn't cost us, but Jesus does require something of us. And what he requires, it benefits us more than him. With Peter, it didn't cost him. He said, "But if you love me, here's what I want you to do." There's a demand on that love. You need to love my sheep. Take care of my sheep. In other words, now that you receive my gift or my incredible gift of love, then give me what you were unable to give me before. Love me back with the love that I love you. Now that you receive my love and you love, you received mine. So now do what you couldn't do before you received it. Love me back with what I've given you. And as I said before, one of the real evidence of us loving God or have actually received the love of God is that willingness to give it back or that ability to love back. Before we receive his love, though, as I said, we did care for ourselves. People that don't know the Lord, they care for themselves. But can I tell you this? The love that we have for even ourselves is not the God kind of love. You can't love yourself with the God kind of love until you receive his love. So that love that we have before we receive the love of God is a less than. Does that make sense? It's less than in quality. It's less than in essence. It's not the God kind of love, but it's an attempt. It's the best we know at that place. The point being that if God brings you to something, and I'm trying to take my time because I really want us to understand what God is saying today. God wouldn't require you to do something without giving you the ability to do it. Okay? He wouldn't tell you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love others as you love yourself. He wouldn't require you to love him, love others, and love yourself if he didn't give you the ability to do it. That's not his nature. Point being this, is that if he brings you to it, I hate to sound cliches, but it's true. If he brings you to it, he's more than able to bring you through it. Oh, that should give you hope. Because when you're going through this journey of life, trusting that steps are being ordered by the Lord, and all of a sudden you're facing a Red Sea, here's the confidence. Of all the ways we could have gone, if God brought me to this challenge, he wouldn't do that and then go, ah, sight, you can't go no further. And walk. That's not what he does. He don't tease us like that. When we're tempted, we're not tempted of God. So when he brings you through it, brings you to it, he makes available for you the grace to get through it. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how tough it is, how insurmountable, how overwhelming your challenge might be. It could be a health challenge. It can be financial. It could be relationship. It can be business. It doesn't matter. Whatever you're facing that seems daunting to you, be encouraged. The same God that brought you to this and now it's before you, he is absolutely able to take you through it. He won't forsake you. He won't turn his back on you. He won't leave you comfortless. And that's easy to accept when you really, really love him. Because love also embodies this idea of trust. So remember the two commandments. He says, love who? Love me with all. And then love others as you love yourself. So I want to do a little demonstration. I need two volunteers. Don't be scared. OK. okay. Come. Leave everything and come. And right here. Oh, I got to. I got to. I tell you what I do need, though. In fact, you can stand right here in the middle. Do you, where's my son, Aaron? Okay, never mind. Aaron, did he give somebody the package that I had him to bring? Amen. Y'all bless his heart. Listen, he not flaking. Come to church, but stand out in the hallway the whole time. Don't want to come in service. Come to church and be doing other things. As many of you know, he's in law school, and he got a lot of work. I need those packages. Carol, why do I feel like I should have gave this to Darius? Because he was ready to Darius, like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. All my life, I've been trying to let you know. You're like Jesus at the well when he told the woman, said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift that was right here. So, your hands are empty. Okay. So, in this instance, now I got to figure out how I'm going to delay this just a minute for him to get back, because it doesn't work without that gift. Why would he come in? I'm on TV, we streaming and everything. But this is the Father talking now. Why, if I give it to you at home and say, I need you to bring this, would you come into the house and leave it in the car? Now, let me just say this. I'm not trying to match him up, but ladies, this is the kind of stuff you got to deal with a lot of young men. They're not as conscientious as you are about things. They have the best of intentions. I bet you it's prepared. Prepared, but in the car. See, if you don't understand that about where some men are. Oh, this is a good place to deal with it. Y'all okay with standing for just a second? Mm-hmm. See, if you don't understand where some men are at certain seasons of their life, you might think that they don't love you. I'm not trying to make an excuse, and if I was a female, I would still make this point. I'm not saying it because I'm a male. It's not that they don't love you, but they are not as... Stuff don't click for them the same way. Some of y'all might need to remind a couple of special people in your life now that, you know, Valentine's is Thursday. They need a reminder, because... You know, last month, they didn't spend some money at Christmas because they was thinking, man, I got to do this for Valentine's. And then they're going to look up and go, it's today. Your anniversaries, your birthdays. Listen, it don't always connect. But can we thank God for follow through? Come on, y'all, give the Lord a hand. I'm augmenting now. Thank you so much, Aaron. Bless you, man. You know, I wanted these hidden. but they all out here now, so. All right, so. In this little demonstration, I'm going to play. Lord have mercy. Oh, I thought he had brought empty gift bags. In this demonstration, I'm going to play the role of God. Lord, it's just a demonstration. I definitely don't see myself as God. Now, for the sake of everybody else, would you please share your name?
Crystal Holmes.
Krista?
Crystal.
Crystal.
Diamond Owls.
Okay, Diamond. Now, Crystal, first of all, is this message blessing you?
Yes, sir.
You learning some stuff? That's
yes,
good.
Sir.
Okay. So I want you to ask Diamond if she can help you and give you a pen and some paper so you can take some notes. Because you need to take notes when you're hearing stuff that you want to remember. Hold on, they want to hear you. So go ahead and ask her.
Diamond, can you give me a pen and some paper so I can do some notes?
Please.
Please.
That's right. Because we all learned that. Please and are the, they're the magic words. That's right. All right. So, Diamond, and you're my child. Go ahead and minister to that need.
But I don't have a pen.
What do you mean? I'm requiring you to minister to her need so that she can know that I love her. Give it.
I don't have it.
Now see, that's not how God is. I know some of y'all was rebuking me already. Talk about he supposed to be God. So shocked out. No! In Jesus' name. That's not how God is. But here's what God does. God gives a gift. Now ask her again. Remember, say please.
Diamond, can I have a pen and paper, please?
Whole bunch of E and S on that one, ain't it? No. Give her a pen and paper. Pull it out. Give her a pad.
Here's some paper.
See, sometimes when you get a gift from the Lord, you have to take your time and sort of pray through that to understand what it is you have.
And a fancy pen.
That's right, because he gives his children good gifts. Come on, God be glorified. Go ahead and, not me, but him. But watch, let me show you something else about the nature of God. Look in your bag. What else you got? Another pad. What else you got? Another pen. Go ahead. What else you got? Another pad and another pen. So not only do you have something for you, because when God blesses you, when he gives you the gift, it's going to bless who first? Even the pipe that takes water to the desert going to get wet before the water gets to the dry place. And not only do you have one for you, you got something that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Come on, y'all, give him a hand. Thank you. And that's how God does. He wouldn't require her to minister to the lack in somebody else and hold her accountable if he didn't first give her what she needed. But when she first got the gift, did she know what was in it? Did she even understand how much was there? See, that's where prayer comes in. You got to spend time with God and investigate. You got to drill down and say, Lord, what is this great thing that you've done in me? Help me to understand this incredible love that you've poured out in me. Because when you understand what you have and what you've received, now you're in a position. And what I like about it is nobody had to tell Diamond this part. Did you see the look on her face when she didn't have it? She was like. But did you see the look on her face when she looked in the bag and saw that she did have the means to meet that need? Isn't it amazing how when you operate in your gift, it brings joy to your life? Oh, I'm trying to set somebody free today. Listen, do you love me? That's what he says. You do? Then love others. Because when you operate in that gifting, in that ability, when you take the love that I've given you and give it to others, it brings joy to your life. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I cannot even begin to tell you how far beneath your privilege in God you are living if you're sitting on the gift. You're not sharing it. You're not blessing others. And I'm putting it in that context because do you know that your gifts are not for you? Everything that God gifts you with is for somebody else. He's giving it to you for somebody else. But because you've received and you're not giving it, You can't give what you have not received. I need another volunteer. Is there somebody here who you love kisses? You love to receive and give kiss. If it's from the right giver, if it's from the right person. Yeah. I almost messed you up a minute, didn't I? Let me see your hand, somebody. You love kisses. Okay. Come here, Courtney. That girl says she loves kisses, man. All right. For the sake of those watching us on streaming and those that don't know you, please tell your name.
Courtney Bowman.
So let's see that pucker. Oh, yeah. She love it, man. She love it. So I need you to choose somebody that you can bless with that kiss. You love them. Let's just look and see. There may be somebody. Somebody, because she loved the kiss. I don't see nobody. I searched all over. here we go. Yes, sir. Guess what? You could kiss him, but can I tell you your love ain't good enough? Because your love don't heal. Your love don't deliver. Your love doesn't make people whole. Your love falls short, but it's the love of God that has an eternal impact. People get saved because of the love of God. They get delivered from bondage because of the love of God. They are set free from the yokes that enslave them because of his love. The scripture says there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life. And God has already done that. So because you love giving kisses, the Lord has a gift for you. Go ahead and check out your gift. Look at it. Go ahead and give him a kiss, girl. Oh, turn around. Show him your kiss. Y'all give him a hand. Thank you. Now listen, if y'all stop right there. I'm gonna show you something else. Listen, you got that gift, and you got your kiss, right? If you can refrain from eating that kiss, that chocolate kiss, and paper all over the bench back there, if you can refrain from doing that till the end of service, then I'm gonna bless you with double. However much you have, but it's yours now. You can go ahead and eat it now if you want to. But if you can wait, then I'm gonna bless you with more. All right, so see me at the end of service. All right. Look at Genesis 2:7. It says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God formed man and he breathed into him. He gave him something. He gave him his life. He breathed into him the breath of life. And the scripture says, and man became. Man came to be. Man couldn't become a living being unless he received something from the Lord first. You can't become who you're supposed to be unless you receive from the Lord first. It would have been unfair of God to form man out of dust and then back up and say, now live. Because he hadn't given him the ability. But what God did was he gave. Because God so loved the world that he gave. And so he gave man something. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man could be. That's what the love of God does. He gives us what we need so that we can become or do what he's requiring of us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth." You're going to receive something first. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power. But after you receive, then you got the ability to do something, to be a witness. See, God wouldn't call you and say, "I need you to witness in all your local area and beyond. I need you to tell the world about me." He wouldn't do that without first giving you what you need to do it. He gives you a gift, and that gift is the Holy Spirit. And it's not just sharing the gospel, but whatever God requires of you, he gives you the ability first. That's his love. "For God so loved the world that he gave." And I know some of you may say, "Well, why is he belaboring that point?" Because I need you to understand something about God giving before he requires something. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So, in other words, I'm going to give you a gift, and it's my grace. But then once you receive that, then I want you to take what you've received, what you've heard, what you've learned, and then commit that. You give it to others. And then he even told them, what kind of people to give it to? He said, give it to faithful men. Why? So that they can receive, and then they can give. Because when they receive, they didn't receive it from you. Because you gave them what God gave you. So when they receive from the Lord. See, the love of God doesn't diminish in power or effectiveness because it's filtered through the life of another brother or sister. When we receive from the Lord, then we can impart. And it's as if they receive directly from the Lord themselves. See, that's important because some people don't go to God. They don't know how to. Some are afraid to. Some have all kinds of reasons why they want to stay away. But God said, that's okay. Because I'm going to draw you with my, come on, with my loving kindness. So what I do is I raise up a David. I send him to do something at your house or your job. Or I let you run to him in the grocery store, you know. And he in there buying all that oil. And I'm telling you, go, and you just, you curious. He said, what are you doing? He said, oh, man, I'm about to fry some turkeys. They go, you fry turkeys? He go, yeah. I said, I would love one for my family for this holiday. And they didn't know he was going to bless them. He was going to do it for free. Come on now. Remember what Diamond did. Go ahead and smile real hard right there. So, no, I'm just messing with you. But that's what we want. We want that when we love people, that they don't give us credit, but they see the Father. We want to be like Jesus. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hey, First Lady. I didn't see you over there trying to sneak in. First Lady, Cheryl Randall, everybody. Cheryl Randall. Good to have you with us. So we want to just be a dispenser. That's why you got to be careful. Your love ain't good enough. Can we receive that? Your love is not good enough. But all what you can receive from him and then give to others. That is the love. That's why he says, love me first, and then love others as you love yourself. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the language of love. Because, listen, we love a lot of things, don't we? Yeah, we love a lot of things. So, I need you to participate. This is going to require some audience participation, okay? So, if I name something that you love, then I want you to, you know, give me something, you know? Make a little noise or, you know, dap me like this or wave. If you really love it, you might want to clap, you know? Or if it's something that you really, really love, I'm okay if you want to stand up on your feet and make some noise. But let's just see. Because, you know, can I tell you, we probably got more in common than you think. I want you to pay attention to who else loves what you love. Because that might be a basis for some sharing and some fellowship. All right? How many of y'all love hot pizza? What about fresh fruit? Yes, I stood up, huh? How many of y'all love cute little kittens? The things we love. Where my dog people at? How many of y'all love ice cream? Where my cake people at? Now, let me apologize right now because I'm a nasal thing, but I realize that quite a bit of it is food. And I'm not trying to put you in a hard place. You know, you can get some when we finish today. How many of y'all love autumn? The changing leaves. How many of y'all love springtime? All the beautiful flowers and... Oh, I got to look and see, because this, we on one of mine now. How many of y'all love a hot cup of coffee? Yes, yes. How many of y'all love, you know, the specialty coffees, like cappuccino, frappes, and... Okay, okay. How many of y'all love some good old fried chicken? Listen, listen, I ain't trying to say you eat it every day. I know you got to eat the bacon, the roasted, but every now and then, I mean, just like a good piece of fried chicken. Okay, some chicken people. What are hot catfish people? Fresh fried fish. Look, we got to get the band back up here in a minute, but we're getting hallelujahs. How many of y'all are the kind of people that you just love a day at the beach? You beach people. Okay, and listen, you can love both or more than one, but how many of you also you love the mountains? Yeah. How many of y'all love some collard greens? Especially when they cook right, huh? How many of y'all love macaroni and cheese? The mac and cheese people. How many of you really love reading a good book? Don't bother me, turn off the TV, get in a quiet place and just, you go into the book, you in the story. How many of y'all like to turn up? You like the parties. How many of you love family time at home? You know, being with your family and... Well, how many of you love family outings? You like to go out and be outside and do things with your family? How many of you love listening to your favorite music? All day. How many of y'all, now this is a big one. How many of y'all like Friday night high school football? See, some of y'all got too old, but some of us still love it, boy. I be going to games. See, I don't even know the teams. It's Friday night. And plus, it's like some of them kids, it's their first time being on a big stage. They got the lights, they got all them fans. They've been playing Little League with just their mom and their cousin coming. And now they got hundreds of people cheering for them. Just to see them step up to the moment. I love that stuff, man. How many of y'all are the kind of people that love roller coasters? Look, they are like they riding right now. Both hands in the air. Woo! Theme park. You're the Six Flags people. Disney and Carowinds, if that's still open. How many of y'all are the kind of people that you love a walk in the woods? Okay, it's finna get serious now. This ain't no joking around right here. How many of y'all love hot wings? I ain't talking about you enjoy them every now and then. I'm talking about three or four times a week you can eat hot wings. How many of y'all like them barbecue ribs? All right. How many of you love your grandmama? Can we just take a moment and thank the Lord for praying grandmother right now? How many of y'all know you wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for a grandmama praying for you? Because your grandmama prayer saved your mama, because one of y'all would have killed each other. But man, grandmama's prayer is reaching down through the generations. How many of y'all love Pastor Walker and Elder Francine? Men, women after God's own heart, pastors who don't abuse the sheep, you know, but protect and cover. That's awesome. But now we got a problem. Yeah, we got a problem. Natalie, we got a big problem. Because that brings up a question now. See, in American culture, we got one word for love. And that word, we use it for everything. I love my mama. I love collard green. I love my grandmama. I love roller coasters. I love you, baby. I love my dog. And see, I know that you don't feel the same way about your boo as you feel about your dog. Can you imagine in a couple more days you sitting down with that special someone, they go, oh, I just love you. I love you like a six-piece hot wings. Now, at first, that might sound like, ooh, some of y'all see, some of y'all need deliverance. Some of y'all like, ooh, six-piece, ooh, hot wings. But the problem is, when you finish that six-piece, you don't put them bones up as a shrine. What you do with them bones? Is that the kind of love you want? That when I'm through with you, that I can just discard you? After I've... I'm going to leave that alone. Whatever you do with your hot wings, whatever you do, that after I share those times with you, I could just discard you and look for the next six piece. And that's a problem, because you don't know what the person is really saying when they say, I love you. Okay? And if I can use a comparison in today's coffee culture, we got a very sophisticated vocabulary. You know, you go to a coffee shop, you order cappuccino or espresso or skinny latte, you know, or maybe even an iced caramel macchiato. You don't just walk in and say, I want some coffee. It's very sophisticated. There's different kinds. And the English language just doesn't afford us that when it comes to love. We got this one word for all the different types of love, but they are not equal in value. Amen? My love for collard greens cannot compare to my love for carrot. My love for Darius is way beyond my love for a day in the mountains. But I can say I love both. So, in order to understand love a little bit deeper, see, this hurts us. That's, you know, I'm trying to say too much. But our vision statement says that we transform culture to what? But see, this American culture sometimes causes us to misinterpret the love of God. Because we got one word for love. So when God says, I have loved you, and when we hear, he loves me, oh, how he loves me, you could be thinking about ice cream. And see, that's a problem. Because then when your experience ain't sweet like ice cream, now you're doubting, does he really love me? The love of God is many faceted, okay? So we go to an older language in the Greek. They got six words for love, six. And in the interest of time, I'm going to breeze through these. The first one is, well, I will mention, I'm drawing this information from a book by Roman Krenarik. It's a secular book. It's not Christian. And no, I'm not preaching from a secular book. But his research was very good. And it's just definitions to help us understand something about Greek culture. So when we hear the word love, their language was more sophisticated than the English from American culture. Okay? So the first word is the word eros. Eros, the first kind of love was eros. It was named after a Greek god of fertility. And it represented the idea of sexual passion and desire. But the Greeks didn't always think that this was something positive like we do today. In fact, eros was viewed as a dangerous, fiery, and irrational form of love that could take hold of you and possess you. Okay? The next one is philia. It's a second variety of love, philia or friendship love. The Greeks valued this one far more than the sexuality form or eros, okay? Philia was concerned with deep camaraderie friendship that developed between brothers in arms who had to fight side by side on the battlefield. It was about showing loyalty to friends, sacrificing for them, as well as sharing your emotions with them. Another kind of philia is sometimes called storge, which is embodied in the love between parents and children. It's that sacrificial love, like when a mom says, ooh, I want to get these boots, but my child got to pay some band fees. So I'm going to wait and pay these fees, and I'll get my boots next paycheck. You understand what I'm saying? It's that sacrificial love. How many of y'all know a whole lot about that? You got to put it off. See, anyway, I can't even comment because of time. Okay, the third one, is ludus, or playful love. It was valued by the Greeks as a playful love. It's a playful affection between children or even between casual or dating partners. And we've all experienced this kind of stuff, especially in those early years when there's a lot of flirting and teasing going on when you're younger. Even as an adult in a new relationship sometimes. But we also live out this ludus love when we sit around with friends, laughing with friends, or when we go to a sporting event and we're with people we don't even know and something good happens. You turn around, you're giving people high five, you chest bumping, you know, you just screaming together, lean on each other. And it's a very playful type love. That's ludus. And then the next one is agape. This is really perhaps the most radical form of love. Agape is a selfless love. Okay, this was a love that you extended to all people, whether family members or strangers. Agape was later translated into Latin caritas, which is the origin of our word charity. Charity. Okay, C.S. Lewis referred to it as the gift love, the highest form of Christian love. Some people call it the God kind of love. It's an unconditional love that says that you can't be good enough to receive it. You can't be bad enough to disqualify yourself from it. It's a no strings attached. I love you not because of you, but because I choose to. Okay. The fifth one is pragma, or long-standing love. The use of the Greek root pragma as a form to describe a love as mature, realistic love that's commonly found among long-standing relationships. It's about making compromises to help relationships work over time, showing patience and tolerance. We last night at the marriage fellowship, we celebrated marriages, and one of them had been married, was it 52 years? Amen. Come on, we can appreciate them for that. Do we have any other marriages represented here that's over 50 years? In the back here. Yes, sir, Brother Corey. Oh, Francis Shepherd. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't know how you can be married 50 years when you ain't but 45 yourself, but. And then the last one, philosia. It's a sixth variety, and this is a self-love. Self-love. Now, that can sound kind of negative at first, but, you know, some very clever Greeks like Aristotle realized that there were two types of this philosophy. Certainly was the unhealthy type, like narcissism, right? Where you become self-obsessed, focus on personal fame and fortune. I'm not calling no names. The Bible says, pray for all those in authority. A healthier version enhances your wider capacity to love. And so the idea was this, the healthy perspective of philosophy is that if you like yourself and feel secure in yourself, you have plenty of love to give to others. Perhaps that's the kind of love Jesus was talking about when he said, and love others as yourself. Okay. There's a quote that I wanted to read. It is difficult reading, and I'm not going to do it because of time. But I want to just point out, make this point. There's a Greek word, kenosis. And what it is the emptying, the self-emptying of Jesus' own will to becoming entirely receptive to God's divine will. Kenosis. When you empty of yourself, and the idea is that you empty out so that you could be filled with God's love. This is what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus earnestly prayed and pressed in to the Father. And he said, Father, if there's any way that this cup could pass, you know, because there was some self-love there. But then he came to this word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, I empty myself of what pleases me, or what's convenient for me, or what meets my need, so that I can receive your love, that sacrificial love, where I can be a blessing to others. Can you imagine an experience where you get to go through that kind of exchange? A place where you empty yourself to receive that fire of humble love of Christ. And then that quote that I didn't go through because it's so lengthy, in the interest of time, I won't do that. But It says, it talks about a place in prayer where Christ himself is conveyed, where he imparts himself. See, the Bible says that God is love. So when we receive the love of God, we're receiving nothing less than God himself. When his love is shed abroad in our heart, God himself, the person of Jesus, is filling us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I might be too far from my... Okay. I think I'm going to wrap it up right here because of time. I want to be respectful. And my clicker ain't talking to me no more. Anyway, so that's a sign that it's time to just end it right there. At least that's how I'm receiving it. My clicker won't go. That might be a sign from God that you done had all you could take too. Like, yes, clicker quit, you quit, everybody to quit. But God wants us to receive his love so that we can have what we need to love others. And you can't limit it to what he did on Calvary. Because when he said, I have loved you in Jeremiah, he also said it in Malachi. And he said to Malachi, they said, well, wherewith have you loved us? You know, how have you loved us? That was before Calvary. So when God says to you, I have loved you, he's not talking about merely or only, should I say, what he did at Calvary for you. He's talking about his commitment to you becoming who he's called you to be. That preceded you being formed in your mother's womb. But it's not just what you receive then in the love of God, but it's what we receive in times of intimacy with him, in times of prayer, in times of worship, as we stand in his presence. That's why I was so thankful for the worship that Fresh Fire led us in this morning, because we were standing in the presence of God. I said, Lord, you're pouring your love out in this place. I feel the love of God. And sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our thoughts around that because of our human nature. When our thoughts are trying to equate the love of God, we immediately look to our physical part of us for a confirmation. The love of God. And you're looking for some goosebumps or something oozy. That's not where that is. His love is poured into your spirit. And it's tangible. The weight of his glory, the weight of the presence of God in us, sometimes it takes a while for our mind to understand that. But you just know that for some reason I got joy unspeakable. I don't even know where this comes from. I do know the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. But God is something. I love it. See, I know when we got saved, we started rebuking some of the songs that we used to sing back in the day because we said, well, that's not scriptural. But I think I had to grow to understand just how scriptural it was. Walter Hawkins wrote a song. He said, what is this? I don't even know. It just makes me feel so good inside. What is this? Make me want to just run on anyhow. You ever had that in you? Everything around you is saying, quit, shut it down, give up on God, quit. Something in you go, no, run, baby, run. Don't give up, don't give in. I don't know what this is to make me want to run on anyhow. He said, but whatever it is, whoo, what'd he say, Ray? It just won't let me hold my peace. Jeremiah said, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. It won't let me hold my peace. Can I tell you something? It makes me love my enemies. And it makes me love my friends. Watch this. And it won't let me be ashamed to tell the world that I've been born again. What is this? What is this? Make me do right when I want to do wrong. He said, what is this that when I'm down low, he gives me a song? But whatever it is, look, yes, now we know we got saved. We know, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But sometimes when we receive that download from his presence, it takes a minute because your mind is in your soul. But he's not dealing with your soul. He's dealing with your spirit. But, oh, it's a refreshing. It's a place, and I thank the Lord because he gives us, well, this is how he deal with me. I said, Lord, you're so awesome for me to talk about this today. And I knew where we were going. And then you give us this little soft, misty rain. Just enough to wet stuff. Just, that's how the love of God is sometimes. It's like a mist in your soul, in your spirit. Oh, but you just get refreshed. And then what you've received, guess what? Now you can go love somebody else with it. Sometimes when people getting on your nerves, they don't work your last nerve. You got no patience for them. They annoying you to no end. It might not be the person. It might be a love deficit on your part. Because this kind of love will make you love. For God so loved the world that he, watch this. So when you receive his love, then you're gonna give. Hallelujah. And this ain't no one-time thing. This is daily. That's why we sing songs like, Lord, draw me close to you and never let me go. Because we need this. He says his mercies are new for us every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Come on, if you need to just receive a refreshing, the love of God. And you, won't you just stand where you are? I'm not even calling you up to the altar. Just right where you are. Just receive. I was praying and the Lord just sort of encouraged my heart. Great, this ain't about laying hands on nobody, but this is about us asking. He's got a gift for you. I had to give you that demo with the bag. Receive it. But then once you receive, you got to dig in that thing and see what it is. See what he's giving you and know that it's not just for you. It's going to bless you, but it's for others. But you got to receive so you can love the unlovely. Come on, you got some unlovely folk in your life. They act unlovely, but God wants you to love them. Not with your love, because your love only could take this much. And then you're about ready to strangle somebody. But the love of God is inexhaustible. It's from everlasting. The first scripture we did, it's from everlasting to everlasting. So receive his love. Receive his love and watch how you will have the capacity and the ability to love others even when they act unlovely. And can I tell you what it's also going to heal? Your lack or inability for rightly loving yourself. Some of us don't love ourselves. We go, yes, I do. No, you don't. Because if you love yourself right, you wouldn't do some of the stuff you do. You wouldn't do some of the stuff that puts you at risk if you love yourself. When I'm playing in the yard with my children, the ball roll down to the street, I'm not going to let them run out in the street and go get the ball because of what could happen. Because I love them too much. I would run and grab them. And I didn't ask them if you want to come back either. I would snatch them up. See, that's what the love of God will do. It'll snatch you up. But some of you need to love yourself and snatch your own self. You say, I'm finna go over the hole. No, I'm not. You need to change your mind and go another way. You can do that if you receive his love. See, the reason you can't say no to some stuff is because you ain't said yes to the right stuff today. Come on, lift your hands and just receive. Lord, let it rain down. We receive your love, oh God. The love of Jesus to fill our hearts. Hallelujah. Make us do right when we really want to do wrong. A love that turns our heart away from self-love, seeking self-fame and fortune at the expense of our relationship with you. A love, Lord God, that causes us to want to love you back with our all. Lord, we declare that we've tried to love you with an insufficient love, a love that comes out of our own self, out of our own mind, our own resolve. But Lord, we recognize our dependency on you. And just like that clay that you formed from the dust of the ground, that formless, that formed man with no life laying on the ground, we receive the breath of life right now. Hallelujah. We receive from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill us up. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. We receive, Lord. We receive, we receive. We receive your love, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing all of our brokenness, Lord. Mending our shattered and torn lives, Lord God. Your love, Lord God. Making us whole. Your love restoring us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.